Does God really care where I live? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. My pastor, Pete Alwinson, has come in, as he does generally on Friday, to correct heresy, to keep me straight. Pete, I appreciate your taking your time.
Good to be here, man.
We always answer questions on Friday, and we get a lot of questions, but you got to write them down, and the only dumb one's the one you don't ask. Don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number for questions. You can get the magazine or Key Life tapes, or you can get the booklets free, or you can make a contribution, but you got to write the question down. Send it to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address if you would like a response. And you always get a response from me or a staff member or on the broadcast or in the magazine. Pete, why don't you lead us in prayer, and then we'll get to some of these questions.
All right. Oh, Father, today we come into your presence. At the end of this week, we're glad that we're your children, and we exalt you and we praise you. We're thankful, Lord, that we can know that we're forgiven, that we're loved, that you are sovereign and have a plan for our lives that is good and that will bring honor and glory to your name. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being our Savior, and there's so many religious events taking place, but we're just glad to be your disciples, your followers, people who you know and who you love. And so we pray that you would continue to work in our lives, Lord, and make yourself so well known in our hearts. We look forward to Sunday or this weekend, whenever it might be that we would worship. And Lord, we ask that you would be with your leaders, your servants who are going to teach and preach, you know, pastors and priests and leaders and church leaders' families. Lord, we pray for them. Pray that they would have your strength to be your people wherever they are. And to we pray for our speakers that they would stand firm and tell the truth, but tell it with grace. And we just thank you for this ministry of Key Life. Thank you for Steve and how you've gifted him. And we just commit this ministry to you again and pray that you would use it in a mighty way in our lives. Even now, as we ask questions and answer them, we ask for your presence and that you would be lifted up. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pete, this first question is from Missouri. Does God really care where I live and what I do for a living? And how do I know God's will in those areas?
Good question. You know, I think when you become a Christian, that's one of the first questions you ask, which shows that there's a change in your heart.
Yeah.
All right, what does God want me to do? And, does he care where I live and what I do for a living? Boy, you know, that could be a very simple question, and I think a very complex one. I want your take on it. But who was it? Was it Augustine that said, love God and do as you please?
Yeah.
So there's a very real sense that if we really love him and our heart is for him, it may not matter.
That's exactly true. I think the it's a legitimate question. It's one we all ask. You ask and mm-hmm. I ask too, mm-hmm. you know, in decisions in our lives. But the truth is, it's a question that doesn't need to be asked.
Mm.
If we, you said, you know, when a new Christian says, now what is God's will in my life, what should I do?
Mm-hmm.
If the Christian, if he or she is asking that, then go get a milkshake. Don't worry about it so
yeah,
much.
That's right. That's right.
You know, you and I both, as pastors, and me no more, but you now, get that all the time from mm-hmm. people that are just agonizing over mm-hmm. it.
That's right.
And you want to say, look, do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And if God has really strong views about this particular choice you're making, he'll let you know.
Yeah.
God isn't trying to keep his will from us.
That's right. You know, so we can even say 99.9% of yeah. God's word will is already revealed to us in his word.
That's right.
And there are general principles there, and we spend time absorbing his word so that we sort of begin to think like he wants us to think.
That's right.
And that we know his heart. You know, I think it's good. You know, if you got a job in Philly and a job in Orlando, opportunities to take, which one would you take?
Yeah.
Well, you do the pro-con sheet and you see, where can I glorify God in the mix?
And then leave it on the table and say, God, you know, I've decided Philadelphia or I've decided Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have strong feelings about this, let me know. Mm-hmm. I'll do what you want me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all. You don't have to worry about the rest.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, can you step outside of God's will and so mess it up that the kingdom shatters or that you miss God's will for your life? Is that possible, Steve? I mean, can God's will?
No, I tell you, God's doing fine. He lets us play in his playground, but, you know, he was doing fine before we came along, and probably not, you know, maybe Billy Graham or Mother Teresa or somebody, you know, like that. But for normal people like us, I doubt whether any great, awesome plan of God is going to be changed if we do it wrong or whatever. But that's, now, there are some basic ways, the scripture,
mm-hmm.
through our brothers and sisters in
mm-hmm.
Christ. Sometimes God does speak.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly through circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't been called to be a heart surgeon. There's certain obvious circumstances. Mm-hmm. Or a movie star. It's just not going to happen in my life.
Oh, okay.
And I don't have
to, they'll ever write that off, Steve.
Yeah, I know. I got my face is character. All right, that's good. It's a good question. It's one we all ask a lot. This is good. This is an email. I understand Jesus saved us from past, present, and future sins. I know because of that I'm forgiven, but how do I forgive myself?
You know, we hear that one, don't we? I think we all suffer from that. Sometimes I have a hard time forgiving myself more because I think I made a fool of myself than that I worry about what Jesus thinks.
Yeah.
And I have to
repent
of that.
You're too honest. I don't even know if I want you as my... I'm not even sure you're saved.
You know, I tell you, that's I just got to be honest about that. And then there's some times where I really think, man, I really hurt the church because I'm a leader and I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, if he overcame death and he says, you know, I view you as your sins are as far as from the east and the west, should I not let them go too? I mean, how can I hang on to my sins if my Lord doesn't?
So true. And you know, I heard somebody, I think maybe it was Spurgeon or somebody like that, who said to somebody who asked a question similar to this, that your biggest sin is unbelief and blasphemy,
mm-hmm.
because you're saying God didn't mean what he said.
That's so true.
But, you know, there are also things in our lives. You know, I have some issues of guilt. My father was an alcoholic. Some of the things that come out of that,
mm-hmm.
that create shame, that make me feel guilty when the locusts attack a crop in a third world country. And I think, what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
And I think if it's a really significant problem in your life, maybe you need to sit down with a wise Christian or maybe a Christian counselor,
mm-hmm.
and pursue some of the things and see if there is a shame-based, guilt-based kind of feeling about it. Because if you can't get over that hump, it may be that something else is going on, too.
Boy, that is so true. You know, our psychology affects our theology.
Yeah, it really does.
And it may not be that you don't really grasp the gospel. It may mean that you got to take it deeper into layers of your life that you haven't thought about.
You know, some of the things that we need to do, and all of us struggle with this. I mean, you know, sometimes you wonder, oh, man, yeah, but I know God forgives people, but I did something really bad. I mean, if they knew, they knew what I did, they wouldn't be saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to take the truth of 1 John 1, 8 and 9. Is that if we confess our sins?
Right, right.
Did I get that right?
Yeah, man, you're a navigator.
Shoot, I'm going to quit this broadcast and go out and impress people with my biblical knowledge. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, print that out. Put that in front on your car.
Mm-hmm.
Places where, on your computer, make it just screen, the wallpaper on your computer, so that you remind yourself of the truth in the face of all the lies that come from the pit of hell.
That is so true. That is so true.
Mm.
Yeah, I love that. And sometimes we have a hard time letting go and really accepting that forgiveness because because we're thinking more about ourselves than we, you know, on the one hand, maybe we got a shame-based issue, like you said, that's below, and sometimes it's just so much about us. And
so true.
Instead of
being preachers, most of my students will say, you know, I preached this weekend in my church, and I was so nervous, I didn't want to bring shame on Jesus. And I said, son, that ain't the problem. Jesus is going to be fine. You worried about what people were thinking about you, and
that's
they
right.
say, oops. Yeah, that's true. This is an interesting question, and it's one I get a lot. It's from Tennessee, and this guy, I say guy, that's sexist. It could be could be a lady, too, said, why did Jesus have to die? Now, that's not so much, I mean, that's a question of somebody that says, you know, it would have been a lot better if, you know, 33 is pretty young. It'd be better if he'd stayed around and loved us some more and taught us some more and let us. Why did he have to die?
He had to die for our sins. We know that.
That's right.
But, you know, I think behind this question could be the question, wasn't there some other way that God could have chosen to pay for our sins? What do you think?
Well, God can do whatever he wants. I don't think there's anything built into the universe that requires he's self-sufficient within himself that forgiveness be accomplished this way. But this is the way he determined that this whole thing would come together so we might be free totally. And so he has, you know, his decrees are very clear, and the reality of what he says is what is. So I think it's just pure surmise to say, could there have been another way? There, Jesus was born to die, wasn't he?
Yeah, right. That's right. He came to die. And I think what you said is quite profound. That is the way the Father set it up from before the foundation of the world. That is the way it was meant to be. He had to die for our sins, to take our sins, and so that then his righteousness could be given to us.
Yeah.
The vicarious substitutionary atonement of Christ.
That's true. And you know, the interesting thing is, you know, people get upset when I say this, Jesus didn't teach us anything new. Every teaching of Jesus in the Gospels can find its equivalent in the rabbinical teaching, either Torah or in a number of the commentaries of Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
So, though he was a great teacher and everything he said was absolutely true, he was that was not his primary purpose.
That's right.
The purpose
just to teach
was to die.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're right.
Will you do this next Friday?
Hey, we'll look forward to being here, man.
You're a good man. Hey, guys, when you write a call, be sure and give us the call letters of this great station. And, oh, yes, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.